Morning. This morning the reading will be taken from John 15, reading verses 9 to 13. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than that this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Amen.
Good morning all. How are we doing? Okay? Good. I thought you were standing on ceremony there, Barry. Bless you. Well, should have a PowerPoint there, Jose. Great. I wonder, I don't normally dress like this, so I'm shooting off at 12 o'clock to go and lead a service of remembrance at Exeter Chiefs, hence the collar, etc. this morning. Please remember in your prayers, as I think the gate is about 10,500 people this afternoon. A little bit... I say anxious more than nervous. So, I wonder, has anybody wandered downtown and seen the amazing poppy display? Yes. Should have a slide picture, Jose. We went down the other day, and doesn't it look amazing? Just quite incredible. The hours of love that it would have taken to knit each of those poppies must have been a real labour of love. I can't knit to save toffee, so there's no... But those that are knitters amongst us, I don't know how long it would take to knit a poppy. I presume you would become more and more proficient the more you knitted.
3 minutes if you crochet.
3 minutes if you crochet? Wow, okay. That's a tiny one. Okay. 6 minutes, I've been quoted. Well, it'd probably take... Well, I don't know how long it would take me, but a very long time. You know, we remember today those who gave their lives and those who carry the scars of war. And we give thanks for the freedom they secured for many, including us. Our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel that forms part of that farewell discourse that Jesus had from starts at chapter 13 and runs through to chapter 16. And Jesus shared with his disciples that end time of where he was going, the death he was to have, and the glory that would be revealed when he goes to the Father. The setting for this discourse happens in Jerusalem, and in our reading we see it set after the Last Supper, just before Jesus was arrested. Now, John 15... Jesus uses the metaphor or the image of the vine to explain about remaining in him and how God's true people are called to be fruitful. In verse 9, it says this: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. There was a song released in 1984, I think if my research tells me correctly, by Tina Turner called What's Love Got to Do With It? Does anybody remember that? I won't even try and sing it. But Colin, you obviously remember that really well. Did you want to give us the first line then? I'd like to suggest that love has everything to do with it. The God of all creation sent his Son into a world because he loved the world and wanted to provide a way for those who loved him to be with him for eternity. God's love is summed up for us in John 3:16, that famous verse of scripture that many of us have committed to memory. For God so loved the world, come on, you can do the rest, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What an amazing scripture, isn't it? You know, I can imagine the disciples thinking to themselves, well, how do we remain in love? What's Jesus on about? That sense of, well, how do we do that? And then in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So to remain, or as some Bible refer to it as abide, in God's love means to obey the commands that Jesus gave us. God is looking for obedient hearts, because obedience to God's commands is a true sign of our love for God. And the only way you can know if you're obeying God is by knowing his word, his written word, the Bible. The opposite of obedience is disobedience. And the path of disobedience leads to sin and death. We only have to look at the account of what happened in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of Genesis with Adam and Eve, where they ate from the tree that God asked them not to eat from because they were tempted. Now, we've been talking about this in our baptism class recently, haven't we, about temptation. And Pauline, what we've been referring to, the cream cake shop, haven't we? Yeah. We have, yes. And that sense that God the enemy or the devil tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and therefore they were disobedient to God's word. We know that that disobedience is called sin. And that when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. You know, there's a famous hymn that talks about obedience and has the chorus that goes, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So that leads us on to verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, walking in obedience to Christ brings joy, not a burden. He brings liberation into our lives from the tyranny of sin that surrounds us. He takes the weight of our sin off our shoulders, so we are no longer bowed down by the weight of sin, but stand in the righteousness of Christ. That famous verse from Nehemiah 8, verse 10, which says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, Christ makes it clear from the passage that his joy will be in us when we abide in him, when we trust in him. So we move to verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Jesus said that the whole law can be summed up in two simple and profound statements found in Luke 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sense that to fulfill the command that Jesus gave his disciples is summed up in those simple words that Jesus spoke earlier on in his ministry. Love God with everything that you have, and then love your neighbor as yourself. They're the two greatest commands that God gave. And Jesus is saying here, if we do that, we will know the joy of the Lord. We will know the peace that comes from walking with him. And let's move on to verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now we know that Jesus was speaking about the sacrifice he was about to make. And as we've shared in communion this morning, we remember his death and resurrection. We know that the grave is not the end. Jesus gave up everything for you and for me. He made it personal when he was nailed to the cross for you and for me. So when we've shared bread and wine, we remember at a personal level of what Christ has done for us. Now, I came across a story that I want to share with you that is very profound. A wealthy man and his son loved collecting rare pieces of art. They had everything in their collection from Picasso through to Raphael. They had a wonderful, amazing collection. And they would often sit together and admire the great pieces of arts of work. That didn't come out right, did it? Works of art. Now, when the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to fight. He went to war. He was courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am a soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day. He was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." The young man held out this package. "I know it isn't much. I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would wanted you to have this." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son. The young man had painted that portrait. The father opened the package and saw the painting. He stared at it in awe, at the way the soldier had captured the personality of the son in the painting. So you probably can't see it so well that side, but the pictures should be up on the screen. The father was drawn to the eyes, and his own eyes started to well up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father hung the portrait over the mantelpiece in center place. I mean, he'd made way out of all his wonderful pieces of art and put this front and center of every other piece of art that was in his collection. Every time visitors came to his house, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he then showed them the other great pieces of work that he had managed to collect. The man, a few months later, died, and there was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people had gathered, excited to see the great paintings and have an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the son. The auctioneer pounded his gravel. "Well, we'll start the bidding with this picture of the son. Who will bid for this picture?" There was a silence. Then a voice at the back of the room shouted, "We wanted to see the famous paintings. Skip this one, let's move on." But the auctioneer persisted. Will someone bid for this painting? Who will start me off at £10? Sorry, I misread that. Who would start me off at £100? Or £200? Another voice from the back shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids, can't you?" But still the auctioneer continued. The sun, who will take the sun? Finally, a voice from the back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son. "I'll give you £10 for the painting. Being a poor man, it's all I can afford." "We have £10. Who will give me 20? "Give him it for 10, they shouted. "Let's see the masters. Let's move on quickly." £10 is the bid. Won't someone bid 20? The crowd started to become restless and angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the worthy investments of the master's collections. The auctioneer pounded his gavel again. "Going once, going twice, sold £10. A man sitting on the second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the proper auction, can we?" The auctioneer laid down his gavel. "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "What about the paintings? What about the masters that he hung on the wall?" "I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal the stipulation until this time. Only the painting of the sun will be auctioned today. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the whole entire estate, including all the paintings. The man who had took the sun gets everything. God gave his son 2,000 years ago to die on a cross. Much like the auctioneer, his message today is the same. The sun. Who will take the sun? Because you see, whoever takes the sun gets everything. We were really touched by that story. That sense that the world wants to see they see the wrong thing. They focus on the wrong thing around them. They want their possessions. They want their gilded lily. They want the masterpieces. But they miss the importance of Jesus. God who gave his one and only son for us. That young man laid down his life, as many young men and women have done so in the years since. And yet, the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us was Jesus. The one who died for us so that we might gain everything. Jesus promises fullness of life, promises eternal life for those who put their trust in him. To walk in obedience to his call because of his love demonstrated on a cross for us. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Greater love, as demonstrated by Jesus, is available to each of us this day and every day. Don't be like the mob. They look past and want something bigger and better because they think it's best. But let's look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. who laid everything down for you and for me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your love revealed to us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus laid down his life for us so that, Lord, we might know something of your love, that great love demonstrated for us, and that we might come into that deeper relationship with you this day. Father, thank you. Thank you that your love was made perfect through your Son, Jesus. Father, help us to acknowledge that this morning. Help us to know the joy that Jesus talks about when he talks about making our joy complete. And Father, we pray that we might walk in obedience to his call, to follow his commands, to love God with all that we have, all that we are, and to love each other as you have loved us. Father, help us to put that into practice. Help us to perfect that in all that we seek to do for you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Amen. Amen.